Welcome to the Marijuana Policy Insider. I'm Russ Belville. Joining us today for the Insider, we have Mason DeVert, the Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project. Mason, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Russ.
We've got so much happening now in the world of cannabis law reform at the local, state, federal, even the international level that here on the Insider, we like to break this down and give you a look at what's happening, what's coming through the legislatures and the Congresses. And let's start at the federal level, Mason. There's a spending bill rider that's been known as Rohrabacher-Farr that's been protecting the medical marijuana states in America from any Department of Justice money being spent to raid them or affect them. What is the status of that amendment? Does it look like it will survive going forward in the Trump administration?
It does. Fortunately, that provision was included in the spending plan that was agreed to by congressional leaders, and it appears that that will be a plan that gets the approval of the president. He has said that he is likely to sign whatever plan they put forward here. So it is a good sign that Congress is comfortable with respecting state medical marijuana laws. And they also clearly recognized that provision was in there. They extended the number of states that are listed that have medical marijuana laws to ensure that their states are protected by that provision.
Also in the federal news, there's been a lot of concern in the cannabis community about the appointment of Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General and his comments in the past showing that he is no friend to legalized marijuana. But recently, Governor Hickenlooper of Colorado had a face-to-face discussion with Attorney General Sessions. Can you tell us what we've found from this discussion and what Governor Hickenlooper thinks will be happening moving forward?
Well, the governor said that he had a frank conversation with the attorney general about it, and you know, it sounded like the attorney general made some comments that put the governor at ease. He pointed out that they hadn't done anything yet, so you know, it sounded like the governor was basically saying, you know, are you going to do anything? We're worried you're going to do something, and it almost sounds like the attorney general made a joke of like, well, have you seen us do anything yet? As if he was suggesting that they don't plan to. What we're hoping is that they will basically maintain a similar policy as the previous administration. It's expected that they'll probably try to make some tweaks to it. Obviously, you wouldn't expect a Republican administration to say they're going to do the same thing as a Democratic administration, but they might talk about whether they're going to try to crack down more on people who violate state laws or who are trafficking marijuana interstate or into the country. They might be looking to beef up law enforcement efforts and their coordination with local law enforcement when it comes to making sure that states are really following through on these guidelines laid out in the Cole memo. But we're really hopeful that they're going to respect these regulatory frameworks in these states and not try to wipe them out entirely.
All right, let's take a look now at what's happening at the state level in various legislatures. Of course, we've got 8 states currently that have passed laws allowing for the adult use of cannabis, adult use of marijuana, and those states have all done so through the ballot initiative process. But now we look up at the state of Vermont, where their legislature is looking at not 1, but 2 different plans for the legalization of marijuana. Tell us a little bit about these competing plans and what are the chances we get our first legislative legalization in America?
Well, Vermont is now the first state where both chambers of their legislature have approved making marijuana legal for adult use. Last year and again this year, the state Senate approved a measure that would regulate and tax the sale of marijuana, essentially set up a system similar to what states like Colorado and Washington have set up. Then the House just recently, this past week, passed a bill that would simply remove the penalties for possession and cultivation of small amounts of marijuana by adults. So basically, they wanted to forego the commercial side and the regulatory side and focus first on the criminal justice side of things. It would also reduce penalties for other marijuana-related offenses. And now the question is, in the next several days leading up to the end of the session in that state, will they come to an agreement on something? It seems like, according to one legislator, he said anything's possible. But in either case, it's still a step forward. We've now seen both chambers have a majority vote to make marijuana legal. So in the worst case scenario, we have to wait till next year. It is a two-year session in Vermont, so they will continue to take up these measures and hopefully arrive at a compromise to get something passed.
So we have one version that's essentially a grow and give, kind of similar to Washington, D.C., and the other a tax and regulate, similar to Oregon or Colorado. Is that correct?
That's correct. And last year, one of the big differences of opinion between the House and the Senate was that, you know, the Senate created the, you know, passed the law with the regulatory system and all of that, but did not allow for home cultivation. And then in the House, there was a lot more of an appetite for allowing home cultivation and keeping it something that adults could do in their homes and focusing on the broader regulatory stuff later. So in this latest measure that was passed this year in the Senate, they did actually make that compromise by adding a similar home growing provision to the one that the House is supportive of. And so they are already starting to make those types of concessions, and hopefully they'll come to an agreement.
Now, next door to Vermont, we've got the state of New Hampshire, which has always been kind of an outlier when it comes to the New England states. It remains the only one that still mandates punishment for possession of simple, small amounts of marijuana. What's the latest going on with decriminalization? I understand that's making its way through New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire's an interesting place. For anyone who's not familiar with it, it's got an incredibly large House of Representatives that really is pretty unpredictable. In fact, it was the first chamber of any state legislature to approve a legalization measure, which was a couple years ago. And so now at this point, what's been going on over the last couple years is we had seen that the House passing measures to decriminalize possession of small amounts, remove the threat of jail time, make it a small fine, and so on. And what had been going on is that the governor previously, Maggie Hassan, had been saying, she's the past governor, she was threatening a veto, saying she was opposed. It had a lot of senators worried, so this bill kept getting stalled in the Senate. She is no longer the governor. The new governor has actually said that he would be supportive of decriminalization. So now the Senate, I think we're seeing some members who are feeling a little more comfortable and like their votes will actually matter. They won't just see it get vetoed immediately. And so the Senate just passed it through committee. We are expecting in about a week or two, we should see a full Senate vote. And at that point, we're very hopeful that this will go to the governor's desk, and he's going to sign it, and that will be the last state in New England to remove the threat of jail time for simple possession. Some changes were made. It's going to be for up to 3/4 of an ounce of marijuana instead of 1 ounce, and it's going to be a relatively small fine for the first offense, a slightly larger fine for the second and third offenses, and then upon a fourth offense within 3 years, there would be the potential for it to then be considered a misdemeanor, but again, there would still be no arrest for it. So it is certainly a strong step. It's not the final step by any means, but it would be a big improvement.
Well, we'd love to have decriminalization finally blanketing all of New England. It's kind of what you'd expect, but where you might not expect decriminalization to be taking root is in the Lone Star State, down in Texas, where there has been moves for decriminalization at the municipal level, the county level, in a few places, but now the Texas House is looking at decrim. What's our status there?
So a bill that would reduce the penalties for simple possession, remove the threat of jail time, has now passed through a House committee there, and it is going to be considered by the full House, not Michelle and DJ and Stephanie Tanner, but by all of the House members in Texas, and we are hopeful that it could pass. From what we understand, there is a majority in support of decriminalization in the Texas legislature. It's really just been a question of procedure and whether this bill is going to get called for a vote and how much time the legislature has to operate. Keep in mind, this is a legislature that only convenes every other year and only for a relatively brief period of time. So it's difficult to get things done there. But at this point, it looks like we'll get a House vote here soon. And if it passes, it's on to the Senate. It's just a question of whether there's going to be enough time in the session to then pass through the Senate as well.
Very interesting. All right, let's take a look now at the medical side of the ledger, where medical cannabis is still being worked on in places that have it. They're trying to improve it. And one of the improvements that's taking shape across the nation is the addition of post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition. I understand there's a number of states that are working on this. Can you give us a rundown?
Sure. Well, the most recent activity we just saw is the New York Assembly approved a measure that would add PTSD as a qualifying condition under that state's program. Obviously, New York is a very large state. I think the estimate is that there are approximately 300,000 people there who may be affected by PTSD in some way, shape, or form. So this would be something that could help a lot of people. The Assembly has passed it. It will now be considered in the Senate. Very hopeful that the Senate's going to agree. It received very strong support on the Assembly side. And then at that point, it would be up to the governor to sign. Then the other states, sticking in the Northeast, Vermont and New Hampshire are both well on their way to adding PTSD as well. It's been moving through the legislature, passing in committees. We are hopeful that those will get signed. And then in Colorado, where it is legal now for adults to possess marijuana, but there are certainly people who may not be 21 or older who are suffering from PTSD. And of course, there's some rights that go with using it for a medical purpose, and then not having to pay the taxes at the counter and so on. So that is now a measure that has passed the House and the Senate finally after several years of failing, and is on the governor's desk here in Colorado, where we are hopeful that it will be signed. And really what we're seeing is just, this is a condition that's been getting a lot more public discussion, not just for medical marijuana purposes, but broadly surrounding veterans, but also other people who have survived traumatic situations. And we know a lot more about this condition now. We know how many people it actually affects and how harsh it can be on those people. And we are seeing the benefits that medical marijuana can have. And we're hearing people testify to that all over the country. So it's not surprising that we're seeing these laws starting to pass.
It's good news happening all over in the world of marijuana law reform, and you can learn about it every 2 weeks here on the Marijuana Policy Insider. Mason, before we let you go, are there any other states we ought to know about as far as legalization or medical making their way through the legislature?
Well, I think that the other very interesting ones are also up in the Northeast, where we do see a few bills still under consideration this year to regulate and tax and legalize marijuana for adult use. And those are states like Rhode Island and Delaware and Connecticut. These bills are still pending. It's a question as to whether there will be enough time in the session to get votes on them and move them through, but they are still alive. So there's a lot of work being done to build support for those, to lobby those legislatures, and we are still hopeful that we could see a state and marijuana prohibition through its legislature this year.
Now, that's great news. Mason Tvert is the Director of Communications for the Marijuana Policy Project based out of Washington, D.C., and you can find them online at mpp.org. Mason, thanks so much for joining us today on the Marijuana Policy Insider, and we look forward to more great information in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much for having me.